project focused on ensuring competent workforce and sustaining program improvements in environmental health. And although that sounds kind of broad, it was very important to me that this project be specific to our program and something that we could sustain and use. Because I was given the opportunity from my immediate supervisor and our chief of public health to participate in this program, it was important for me to bring something back that we could actually put into place within our program. And we are located in Billings, Montana. We are the largest county in Billings, not land-wise, but people-wise, 140,000 people. And we experienced some significant growth in our program staff, particularly in environmental health, in the last several years. We were fortunate enough in 2002 to, by 27 votes, get an approved public health mill levy in Yellowstone County. And what that meant to us was improvements in staffing and program availability in environmental and public health services. And specifically, since May of 2003, our environmental health services program has gone from 4 registered sanitarians to 9 registered sanitarians and 1 preventive health specialist. And our budget went from about $220,000 a year to over $800,000. So all of that sounds really wonderful. But in that, we found that we did not have very well established training programs. We didn't need them. We hadn't had new people coming into our program. So we recognized that we did not have any kind of formal module for training new staff, and we really had no way of assessing or figuring out who needed what kind of continuing education credits and how do we align those with our program goals. So how do we pick people to go to training? Well, you raised your hand and you got to go. That was fine, except for when now we had 9 staff to provide training for, it was critical that we establish some kind of system to really include that training into our, integrated into our daily work. So we had not done any kind of workforce competency assessment, and we didn't have a lot of measurement tools within our program to show whether or not we were improving. And one of the key issues was that as the more money came into our department, of course, the community expectation for the environmental health and public health services increased. And I think that will always be increasing. I don't think they're ever going to say, well, you're doing enough and that's just fine, just hang out where you are for a while. We needed to continuously look at how do we grow, how do we expand, what kinds of services do we offer. And that was a big big selling point, if you will, in the 2002 campaign for the public health mill levy. So we had that expectation to meet. So we recognized that because there had been no standardized procedure for defining the training needs within the agency or aligning those training needs according to agency goals, we did not have a model for training new staff or a systematic approach to providing continuing education. So what we were coming up against was our existing staff was in competition with your new staff in terms of who got to go to what trainings, what programs would they be involved in, what kinds of availability did they have to improving themselves. We're a small program for the most part. There's not a big ladder to climb. There's not a lot of rungs on that ladder. So it was important to us in terms of retaining our staff to give people the opportunity to grow in scope and in breadth in their programs and as professionals instead of just focusing on or in addition to just focusing on how do they accomplish their daily tasks. So although our program budget sufficiently supported staff training and the educational opportunities, we realized that without competent staff or the capacity to provide the essential environmental health services, the community doesn't have adequate protection from environmental health risks. And we knew that traditionally employee development issues were solved by sending employees to training classes rather than developing and implementing any kind of overall environmental health workforce development plan. And over time, staff found and managers also found that attendance to training kind of in their minds equaled an increase in competency. You went, therefore, you had an increase in competency. But we did not have any kind of system to integrate that knowledge into practice or a way of sharing that or some kind of formal way to share that with other staff. And what happened was that the increasing dependence on going to training reduced everyone's commitment to developing any kind of workforce development program. So we just felt, well, if you don't know this, we'll send you to training, and therefore then you will know it. And we can all kind of imagine on your own what kind of problems that can create. So my project had four goals or intended outcomes. The first was improved integration of the 10 essential environmental health services. The second being more efficient and effective environmental public health programs, an increased competency of environmental public health professionals, and seeking to change some behavior in the environmental public health professionals. And that's specifically in our program related to employee attitudes, trying to resolve or eliminate or reduce the feeling of being stuck in a position or looking at where they wanted to go. So what did we do? Again, a little review on the 10 essential environmental health services, as the first two of my four goals directly related to them. We conducted pre-tested some assessment of employees' current knowledge in the environmental health or the 10 essential services. We used the training module that was developed by Carl Osaki to provide staff education. We then conducted post-assessments and found that our average test scores increased from 68% to about 85% after that training. So there was some increased knowledge there. We also worked on developing a monthly reporting document that was developed and given to all of our staff so that they could track their program activities in terms of the 10 essential services. So every month, everybody reports within their individual programs, whether it's air quality, food safety, water, tattoo and piercing establishments, whatever it might be, what activities they did within the last month within those 10 essential services, full well knowing that everybody's not going to do all 10 every month. But we then used that to do quarterly assessments of those monthly reports, and we started to look for gaps and where are we not doing certain essential services. Maybe there are some that we never do, and how can we then develop some action plans to use those environmental essential services in improving our program. The last two of my goals related directly to the core competencies and the public health professionals themselves. Again, this is the expanded list of those core competencies. So again, we provided staff education. We established a method of assessing staff competency. We designed a questionnaire that was used as kind of an objective, non-performance-based assessment of each individual's ability to perform those competencies. So we asked individuals to rate themselves on a no ability to significant or complete ability scale in each of those 14 competencies. Their supervisor was also asked to complete that assessment, and we used those in some comparisons and had the staff then create some individual development plans very much related to what we were asked to do as fellows in the Institute. So some of those tools were replicated in this project. Again, we looked at the comparison between how does a staff person feel about their ability to perform a certain competency and their managers or supervisors feeling for them, and we established and identified some training priorities for each individual that way. They created those individual development plans, and then we have been working on looking at staff as a whole, creating workforce development plans and bringing people in to talk about things like conflict resolution or documentation and record keeping, and then also giving individual staff people opportunity to pick one of those core competencies to work on each year. So it's not related to their job performance, but it was an additional thing that they had an opportunity to grow and learn in. And again, to help support our commitment to staff training and continuing education, we did these following activities. I'll just kind of put them up there for you to look at. Basically, developing some programmatic goals, using a standardized training model for new hires. We've had new people using that tool. It seems to be working very well. We've been continuing to align our continuing education opportunities with the program's goals, with those, in addition, developing systems to measure program improvement. And ways of integrating that new learning into their daily activities. And staff are encouraged, if not required, to share that new learning with other staff now. We routinely assess our agency vision and some of our professional and personal goals. Again, a lot of the tools that were established here are now being integrated into a new performance evaluation for our entire department. So a lot of this work is kind of moving and flourishing into something else. We were able to add a brand new environmental health position to our staff as a result of some of the work that we did on this project. Those are some of the things that were not immediate benefits from participating in this program, but have now, 18 months later, really come to fruition. So we really found that continuing education and training, if you use a systematic approach and have the pieces in place to integrate that new knowledge, you really had better benefit and longer lasting impact on both the employee professional growth and then the program growth itself. Okay, these are my conclusions, which I kind of just mentioned. That is a line item within our budget. Our environmental health program, we're responsible, myself and our director are directly responsible for that that budget and submitting it. Our public health, I guess our agency itself has a very large commitment, and one of our Board of Health strategic goals really directly relates to education. So we have not had any problem with being able to use our public health dollars for training and continuing education. I don't know that that answers your question, but it's always been in our budget. We have not ever had to take it out.